first volume of what's described as the definitive biography of Pierre Elliott Trudeau. How this differs from other books is that it is the first to have benefited from unprecedented and complete access to Trudeau's private letters and papers. What they reveal is interesting. Citizen of the World, The Life of Pierre Elliott Trudeau, Volume 1, 1919 to 1968, is written by the noted biographer John English, a former MP and a professor of history at the University of Waterloo. He is also the author of the best-selling two-volume biography of Lester Pearson. First one was called Shadow of Heaven, the second one, The Worldly Years. Citizen of the World, 3995, published by Knopf, covers the years 1919, Trudeau's birth, up to the 1968 Liberal Party convention that elected him leader and installed him as Prime Minister. I am pleased to welcome to the Planta on the Line program John English. Good morning, Professor English.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. How did you get access to these papers?
After Trudeau died, the literary executors asked me if I consider writing a biography of Trudeau. I didn't know the papers then existed. The papers used for this volume are We're in His Home and have been collected there by his mother and by him over the years. And when I talked to the National Archivist to whom they were being transferred, he said, the collection's incredible. And at that point I thought, well, if it's an incredible collection, then I have the material for a biography.
How long did it take you to go through all of these things? Because these are letters, diaries, private papers and the sort, correct?
Yeah, 4 years.
And that's for both volumes, is it? Or
well, the next volume will be take a couple more years, and there will be a little bit more research to do, not so much in the private papers, though, because his private life really ends when he becomes Prime Minister, as it does for everybody, I guess.
Now, obviously you had, as someone who was in, who, a biographer, historian, you were in public life at one point, you have some assessment or some idea of what Trudeau's career was, what he meant to Canadians. What do you think that these private letters, these private papers that we haven't seen of or heard of before, what do you think they reveal about Trudeau and how he took decisions as he was growing up to 68 and when he became Prime Minister after 68?
Well, I think it's illuminated many of his later decisions or put a different take on it, perhaps. He had said in his own memoirs he had not been a nationalist ever and he'd run against the current. And that wasn't the case. He was as nationalist as any of the students in the early war years. And more than that, he was actually in favor of Quebec independence, a very anti-British Empire, a very anti-war. That wasn't known. His ambition, he had talked about it into his diary about being Prime Minister as early as the time he was 19 and 20 and continued to have great political ambitions. And it's normally thought that Trudeau had to be cajoled and coaxed into politics. And this true, he hesitated always at the last moment, but in truth he loved the job and really wanted to be a leader. On some other items, like his foreign policy, there were things that were puzzling and his attitude in a speech he gave in the Soviet Union where he talked to the United States being co-equal in the foreign policy with the Soviet Union, which caused a lot of disturbance here. You can see that Trudeau had developed those concepts by his study of French Catholic thought on the left, and he was very much influenced by the notion that you could somehow mediate between East and West. Actually, he was a supporter of détente because of it, but it also, in the eyes of many in foreign affairs and external affairs department, suggested that he leaned too much towards being a conciliator rather than confronting the Soviet Union.
And he traveled around the world a lot. The title of the book is Citizen of the World. What was his view of being a citizen, I guess, he didn't see himself as a Canadian, or did he see himself as a Quebecer? Did he see himself as cosmopolitan, I guess?
He saw himself as cosmopolitan, yes. Saw himself in his own mind too much a Quebecer when he was young. His whole world was Quebec nationalism and Quebec politics and Quebec life. Then when he left for education and at Harvard and Paris and London, he suddenly was jolted, and that's where Citizen of the World comes from. He put it on his Harvard door, and it was an attitude he had towards throughout his life that I'm not merely a citizen of Athens, I'm a citizen of the world, so said Socrates. And so Trudeau, I'm not merely a citizen of Quebec or of Canada, but the whole world is part of what is my concern. So that was where it came from. Now, certainly, He was richly a Canadian, certainly by the time he was Prime Minister, and grew to have a great affection for the country and all its diversity, the remote rivers and the wildernesses he adored. And he retired and spent all his life in Montreal. And though he traveled, he was not a go to Florida for the winter type, as often is the case with Montrealers, for understandable reasons in the winter months.
Now, at what point in it, because we only know him, I guess, from his time of being Prime Minister's time in public life, and he seemed very rigid, very, that he had his beliefs, whatever they were, whether you agreed with them or not, they were there, and they seemed unmoved. But it seems to me, reading the book, that there was a different side to him, sort of these flirtations with Quebec independence and so on. At what point in his life did he change? I mean, and also, what shaped that? Do you think, was that Brebeuf?
Brebeuf shaped the earlier concepts in general society around him, which was nationalist, particularly, or devout French Catholic, with close ties with priests who were attracted to corporatist thoughts and ideas of new order and that sort of thing. So that shaped him then. He defended his ideas fiercely, whatever they may be. But the truth of the matter is, his ideas did change. He was a socialist. He wasn't a socialist by the time he was Prime Minister. He, as I said, was a neutralist, but was not a neutralist when he was Prime Minister. And he was open to it. He wouldn't seem to be, because he could be so ferocious defending his views. But he changed almost subtly and would never admit it. he would not admit that he was changing his views, but he did.
So, Dan, talk to me about the relationship with his mother and father, because that his father died when he was very young, correct?
Yes, when he was 15. Well, with his father, it's interesting. Some of the books before had said he had eatable complex, this close devotion to his mother, but difficulties with his father. His father dies when he's in his mid-40s, and what does it mean? Well, I've found in the papers that the stories about Charles Trudeau abusing Grace Trudeau are not correct. Their relationship was not without its difficulties. Charles was out all the time. He was a businessman of the day and drank and smoked and stayed late into the night, and that's the way things were, I guess, in the business community at that time. Trudeau loved his father, the famous cape he wore and the gray cup, which is coming up. Remember that?
Right.
The one that's on his portrait, that's his father's cape, and he wore it as a mark of respect. Now Justin has it. And the diary entries show he really missed his father, but it gave him a kind of freedom to wander. And his father was a very strong personality in directing, and made him learn boxing, made him learn English, made him learn rowing, made him go to Brebeuf, a very strict disciplinary situation. And when he died, Pierre had a kind of freedom, but what he retained was that extraordinary discipline. And he maintained that throughout his life. He was when he had a task, he did it, and he did it well.
Now, he did not like his father's lifestyle, the sort of hard-working, the sort of establishment lawyer life, correct?
That's absolutely right. He became an ascetic himself. He would take out a date and they'd buy a good wine, and he wouldn't even finish his glass, which was a good deal for the woman involved, but he drank little, never smoked, despised smoking. Kept his body in tremendous physical shape, and I think that was in response to his father, who did all of the above. And Trudeau was a man who insisted on getting to bed at a good hour and didn't carouse all night. So I think this was, as so often happens, a counter-reaction to a father who was the opposite.
His mother, they obviously had a very close relationship. You describe her as, I think, someone, it's either in the book or one of the reviews, that she was a pack rat. She kept everything.
Yeah.
About him, and I guess that helped you in your book. What was their relationship like?
Well, she doted on him. He was her favorite son, favorite child. There was a sister and a brother. She seemed to, at an early age, identify him as something special. And he was a leader. There was a timidity about him. His brother was very shy. And her daughter was a lively, bantering type. But Trudeau was something special, and I think that Grace looked for him all she lost in her husband. And their correspondence is remarkable for a mother and son. Open, frank. They don't agree on everything by any means, but there's a sense of fun that's astonishing. He takes her on the Riviera on his Harley-Davidson. He goes to the beach with her and holds her on his hands when she's in her 50s. An incredible shot of her, photograph they have. And he never married until his mother's Alzheimer's or dementia stops her speaking. And I think that that was obviously a factor. His mother was so predominant in his life.
We talked earlier about that he was, I guess, seen as a radical. He had radical political views. And at what point did you find him, that he changed, that he became more, I guess, rigid, or I think that's the wrong word?
Well, it's odd, you know. He was a radical Catholic in the 30s and 40s. He was a socialist in the 50s, although of a different kind. You know, he didn't, in reading his notes, he lectured to labor colleges, he doesn't follow normal socialist doctrine. He's not a Marxist, for sure. And in the later period, when he's prime minister, he constantly looks for radical things that will jolt people. But he liked the new. He liked the shock of the new, and he kept thinking there's a better way to do things. And when the post-war consensus on what to do about the economy collapsed in the early 70s in the wake of President Nixon's attempt to go off the gold standard and the end of the Bretton Woods system, the post-war Bretton Woods system, Trudeau really looks for whatever can we do to get things. But he, as a leader, didn't take chances. The biggest chance he took was in his last government, which he knew was his last government, when he went forward with the Constitution, the Charter. And he would have seen that as a radical departure himself, and lots of others still see it as a radical departure.
Was there a point, though, what was it, the influence that sort of made him realize that he needed to play by certain rules, I suppose?
Yeah. 1972, when he almost lost the election, he was saved by one seat, and that seat of, you know, 23 votes or something like that. He realized, oh my gosh, I could have gone out of office, and that would have been end my career. So he buckled down, and he became flexible. He worked with the NDP in particular to survive and worked with the party officials, brought back party people who were old party hacks, you might say, who knew how to run the machine. Then 74 came back with a majority government, and that was the thing that really startled him. He thought you could govern by treating it as a seminar, trying out new devices and participatory democracy, and he ran on the slogan, the land is strong, and that near loss really changed him a lot. It became much more political.
I'm talking with John English, the author of Citizen of the World, The Life of Pierre Elliott Trudeau, Volume 1, from Knopf, 3995. When reading the papers and looking at all the diary entries and letters and so on, do you get a sense that what you're reading is someone who was going to be prime minister, someone that was going into political life?
Well, in terms of going into political life, yes. If I didn't know what had happened and I just read the papers in the 40s, I would say this guy really wants to go into politics, because that's how you become a political leader, no doubt about it. The trouble is he really doesn't have a place to express himself politically. He doesn't want to go with Duplessis, whom he dislikes, the Premier of Quebec, the Conservative Nationalist Premier of Quebec. The Federal Liberals he never liked in the 40s and 50s. He had grown up as a Conservative and really didn't like them. So he couldn't find a political home. And then finally the Quebec crisis becomes the major crisis in Canadian federal politics. The Liberal Party is having a hard time responding. They knew fresh faces. And Trudeau knew it was the right moment to go in, and so he enters federal politics in 1965.
That's with Gérald Pelletier and Jean Marchand, correct?
That's right, exactly.
Marchand seemed to me, just an objective observer, the most, I guess, potent political person there, that he seemed like he was the one who was going to, of the three of them, to succeed. Is that the sense that you got as well?
Yes. When Marchand went to Ottawa, he was identified as the real catch. He was a labor leader, tremendous public speaker, and the Liberals were having trouble with Quebec outside of Montreal, and he could go into the back concessions and give fiery speeches, and it had a real reputation as a person who could confront the creditees, who were then the party that caused the trouble for the Liberals. And Trudeau looked like an afterthought, but he was recognized within Quebec as a major catch. He was well known, he was a television personality, and once he got there, very soon he started to eclipse the others. Pelletier never liked Ottawa, didn't like the city, didn't like the job. Marchand did all right, but he was the one Pearson wanted to succeed him. But Marchand's English wasn't good enough, he thought, and he did have a drinking problem that was developing.
And
he just thought he couldn't do it, so he backed Trudeau, and Trudeau eventually did run, and of course won the convention, became prime minister, and the rest is history, as they say.
They were described as the three wise men. They were close friends, were they?
They were friends, especially Peltier and Trudeau. Marchand had worked with Trudeau since the asbestos strike in 1949, and they worked together collaboratively on political agenda, but they were not his closest friends. Peltier was a good friend, but not the closest friend. Marchand was more distant. They had they just worked together on particular projects.
René Lévesque comes into Trudeau's life at what point?
They meet in the 50s, when Lévesque was a CBC a radio commentator.
Were they friends in any way? I mean, they were always in Peltier's kitchen, weren't they?
Yes, they met through Peltier, and Peltier was with CBC, Radio Canada at that time. And it... they met, and they never there were sparks between the two of them right from the start, apparently. Trudeau mocked him the first time. Well, you can talk, but can you write? And Lévesque said he was annoyed with him right from the very first, that he had the kind of personality he wanted to punch in the face. And then they met when Lévesque became a cabinet minister in the Quebec government in 1960. Lévesque asked to meet with, he respected Trudeau, André Laurendeau, Peltier, and Marchand, and Trudeau. And it was there that their differences widened. Trudeau thought Lévesque was becoming a nationalist, a Quebec nationalist, thought he was becoming a separatist, and their views differed. But he respected him as a man of energy and a man of who essentially had the same kind of views about at first about the need to make Quebec less dominated by the church and by conservative forces.
There's so much to talk to you about. I feel like I'm jumping all over the place.
Doing pretty well.
his entry into politics... you said earlier that he seemed to hesitate before taking the decision to go into federal politics. Did he hesitate in joining the Liberal Party? Because I know that there was a lot of talk. I know he's friends with Therese Kesgrand, wasn't he? And
yeah.
They thought that he was going to be with the NDP or the CCF or so on. That seemed to be his logical home. Was there a lot of discussion, was there a lot inner discussion, I guess, or with Peltier or others, or with himself, that he would... In taking his decision to go to the Liberal Party?
Oh, yes. It came. Well, they had thought about going into federal politics in 63, and Marchand had thought about running for the Liberals, so they were moving away from the CCF, or the NDP, as it was becoming then. But for Trudeau, the NDP's stand on Deux Nations, Two Nations, was deeply offensive, and he criticized it strongly, and he and some others started to move away to politically neutral. So by 1965, he was absolutely convinced that the NDP was not for him, and in the Liberal Party, he would have voted Liberal no matter what, and if he hadn't been running.
Something that I mentioned about his mother, his relationship with her, and I guess with the absence of the father, his relationship with his mother grew very close. Mm-hmm. Do you think? Helped him with women, that he was more, he found it easier to talk to women than men, perhaps?
Yes, absolutely. No doubt about that at all.
You have a lot of letters with these women, and Camille Corriveau, Therese Gouin, mm-hmm. and Helene
Segerstrom.
Yeah. So they're awfully personal. They reveal a lot, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. He opened up with women and I talked to a friend of mine, actually, who knew Trudeau well, and her husband was a colleague of Trudeau's at the University of Montreal, and said at parties he was shy, but he'd always come over and talk to her for hours on end. And I think it is the fact that he was used to talking to women and liked it so very much, and I think it has a lot to do with his mother. However, I will say that having talked to Therese Gouin and others, Madeleine Gobet and Margaret Trudeau, that they all share a common view that the mother was a real problem, that her approval was necessary, and the approval was extremely difficult to get, and it's probably why he did not marry until he was 51.
Trudeau's book, his own memoirs, I guess they concentrate mainly on his prime ministerial career.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that there were contradictions between what you found in the private papers and what he wrote in the book in 93?
Yeah, the huge one is the failure. He says in the memoirs that he was anti-nationalist, that he ran against the current, and he wasn't attracted by nationalism. He didn't pay any attention to Abigrou. That's all not valid. He was a nationalist. He knew Abigrou very well. He was moving in those circles. He talks about the war and said it was just going around outside, but it wasn't true. He wasn't interested much in the war in Europe, but you know, he was demonstrating in the streets against it and plotting against the government, and it was a big item in his life and in a very direct kind of way. So that part is completely different from what was written in the memoirs. About the other stuff in the memoirs, I think it's fair to say that he makes himself more consistently anti-nationalist than it was. He grew to that position in the 1950s, but into that position. But his account in his memoirs does not reflect what's in his papers.
What about the other books on Trudeau? There's a huge library of them.
Yeah.
Did you find any useful? Did you find anything
sure.
new?
Sure. Yeah, the Radwanski book that was done in the 1970s. Now, it's obviously way out of date. It's before Trudeau's last 7 or 8 years in government. But it's the only extensive interviews we have with Trudeau at that time. So that was very useful.
That's the Radwanski book, is it?
Yeah, George Radwanski, the fellow who got into trouble as our privacy commissioner.
Right.
Clarkson McCall also used interviews which were helpful to me. They missed the nationalism thing, which shows you how, you know, there's amnesia and how the limitations of interviews. So those were both very helpful books. Trudeau's own memoirs, of course, have some information that's relevant too.
Now, you'd met Trudeau, hadn't you?
Yeah, I've met Trudeau. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that writing a biography about him, do you think that colors that your meetings with him? Do they factor in when you're writing this book? I mean, or writing anything about anyone that you?
No, they don't. Except in one case, but I'll get to that in a second. But I never had any conversations with him. I just met him in a social thing, but no more than 3 or 4 times. So I didn't know Trudeau. The second thing was that the one thing that left me with impression was how much shorter he was than I expected, and how well he did on television, because he was wonderful on television. You didn't realize that he wasn't a big man, and his face was not as attractive in person as it is on television, because maybe his makeup, but his face was a kind of an odd color, I wouldn't say yellowish, but it wasn't. It was an odd color, and you know, he's a good-looking man, but he was much, much better on television than in real life.
Now, his children, and I guess Margaret as well, she didn't come into his life until later.
Yeah.
When you talk to his family about the Trudeau that you cover before 68, he seems like a different person, and I would assume that unknown to them, because they came on much later in his life. How has their reaction been to the Trudeau that you reveal?
Well, exactly as you mentioned, I sent the book when I had it finished, before it was published, but sent it to them and asked them to read it. And, you know, I didn't ask them to read it before I was finished, for obvious reasons. And the reaction's been very, very positive, but with the kind of comment that you just made, it's very different, and we learned things that we had never known about my father, and I know something, it explains so much that I didn't understand, so I felt pretty good about that, and I found it a credible portrait, and also one that taught them, as Sacha Trudeau said, it taught to me to know my father better than I ever knew him before.
And how has it been for you writing this book? Has it been an enjoyable experience? I mean, there must have been a lot of expectation on your part from publishers, from the family, perhaps?
Yeah, I'm sure there, and I certainly know there was for the publisher. And undoubtedly from the family too. It's been fascinating, because he is a fascinating individual. He's great material, and you know, his own prose just leaps off the page. So one of my problems was I just had so much material I had to edit it out, and that's part of writing a book. And I've enjoyed it, but I would say that it's been a tough go. It's been hard. It's so much material, and he is so complex that to get him down to the written page is sometimes it takes quite an effort. So I just hope I've done it.
Now you're working on the second volume, correct?
Yes, I am.
How is that coming along, and when will that be out?
Probably about 2 years from now, if all goes well.
Do you think, in looking at this life, that you understand him any better than you did before you started this?
Oh yeah, yeah, much better. I understand a lot about him that I didn't know before, even though I grew up during his prime ministership and watched him so many times, and I'd met him. But now I understand where he was coming from and what his beliefs were and what he wanted to achieve.
It's a very good book to read, and I do congratulate you with that, and continued good luck with it, and thanks for joining us, John.
Thanks very much, John.
The book is called Citizen of the World, The Life of Pierre Elliott Trudeau, Volume 1, 1919 to 1919.